What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm not even going to hold y'all, man. This is really just going to be a reaction joint today. I got my opinions about a lot of things, but I'll be able to filter them in. But first, I want to thank you all for pulling up with us on Philly Fridays right here on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. Also, you know, you can catch us on many of your streaming or podcast networks. You know, you just go to the True Stories Podcast Network. You type in True Stories Podcast, the True Stories Podcast Network, and Office Hours, LWAP Radio. Y'all can find us. We here. We out here. You know, as you know, the kids say, we outside. You know what I'm saying? you know, we have to really look at a few things that are happening around the world. The world is changing in front of us, changed before our eyes. As I said before, a lot of people didn't think they would get to see the new world order actually fall into place, like the battle for it. And it's happening so fast that most people don't know what's going on. And there was a movie. I think it was called The Brothers or something like that. And it was about this family of moonshiners. And I'm not sure exactly. I think they were in Mississippi. They could have been in Mississippi or Kentucky. But they were out there. And one of the brothers, you know, he was just cold like that, right? This dude, he was like that. So his younger brother was, you know, I think Shia LaBeouf played that role, had gotten to a verbal confrontation that started to escalate with two other guys. So, you know, so I think, I don't know how, but the brothers, all the brothers end up pulling up, like, you know, walking out. Keep in mind, this joint's like in the 40s and the 50s and all that type of time. Right? So, what happened was, oh, damn it, I'm playing games over here. What happened was, they ended up squaring up. And old boy was like, sorry about that. Old boy was like talking greasy to the oldest brother. Oldest brother was talking to him, so he's like, "Yo, man, you like a bird." Dude's like, "What?" So dude was a little puzzled. And he reiterated, they said, "You like a bird. You know, birds just flying around, you know. The whole world is changing around you." He said, "There are things that place in play right now that you are not, you're obviously not aware of." And he said, "Be just like a bird. It's flying around while the world is changing around him." He said, "There are factors in your life changing." And dude's like, what are you talking about? Wham. Next thing you know, old boy is laying out on the concrete.
Ah, damn.
Or the asphalt or whatever. Sleep. But what he was alluding to was, dude was so full of himself that he got lost. You know, they say you lose sight of the forest for the trees. And dude was, you know, so he was trying to warn him, like, man, listen, you're about to incur some real consequences and you don't even see it coming. Well, a lot of times when I'm talking about a lot of the things happen politically, most of us don't see it coming. We don't have a trained eye for that. So because we don't have a trained eye for that, we don't necessarily see the underlings of what's happening in the world. We don't, and I'm watching, I'm following up on a lot of different angles from this conflict that's taking place, the regional conflict that's having global repercussions that's taking place over there in the Middle East. I don't know why they keep calling it Southern Asia. Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Yemen is Africa, babe. Yo, stop playing with me. But between Iran and the collective forces of the American military and military industrial complex and the state of Israel. And I don't let Israelis get away with saying I'm Israeli, I'm not Zionist, because I think it becomes real convenient to slip on one hat and take off another one when there's heat coming down the road. See, heat coming down the pipe, you already know what's happening. So, plus 94%, they were polled, 94% of Israel agreed with this Greater Israel Project. You don't understand what that is? Well, look that up. So I'm paying attention, and a lot of the analyzers, the people that are analyzing the wars and the, you know, college professors who were actually teaching the Pentagon and the different various branches of government, the concept of war games, and literally went over the same scenario with branches of the U.S. government 10 years, like 5-10 years ago. And they were talking about how, bring the mic a little closer. Yeah. They were talking about how the, you know, that this would be an unwinnable war. That outside of it being a nuclear, like the use of nuclear weapons, you really can't wipe Iran out. Iran's too big a country. And because of the terrain of the country, you really can't bring a ground force in there. So they've blocked the Straits of Hormuz, which 20% of the world's oil goes through on a daily basis. Also, you know, you have food stocks, such as fertilizer, chemicals that are used in making those superconductor microchips. I mentioned this before. But with the blockade, and then America recently decided to go for the blockade. Literally, man, you're trying to shut down all the traffic, you know, in this conflict. But here's the problem, right? We're not going to really see the results. All the pundits have pretty much agreed. We're not going to see the results of this until somewhere around the early parts of May, when the shelves start getting light and the prices start ballooning, and what hits the global economy is something called stagflation. You know, stagflation, basically, what you earn it stagnated in a hyperinflation environment. So I would tell y'all, try to learn as much as you can. Many of y'all waste your time on social media and fill your head with entertainment and whatever, dead space. Start watching some videos and content on how to cultivate the land, how to generate your own food, you know, vegetables, produce. Whether you need to go buy a miniature greenhouse just for your own house. Try to start figuring those things out. It's the little things that matter. One time, I had a greenhouse. I damn near fed my whole... me and my people ate off that joint well into the winter. And if it wasn't for a heavy-ass snowstorm, you know, it made that joint collapse. We'd still be eating off of it. So, but yeah, you know, I had debating on how I was going to do this one today, because I was going to go into the whole concept, the whole thing about Al Sharpton, you know, and this National Action Network. I guess they had like a conference where they was trying to drum up support for the Democrats for the upcoming election. And I just hate bought and paid for Negroes, man. You know, I really do. I just can't stomach them. And Al Sharpton's one of the biggest whores out there. And here's the thing with this. You had a brother get up and he spoke, because I think Kamala Harris was in there and she was talking. You know, she was talking a reparations talk. Like, I guess she realized that she has to say something to, you know, galvanize the male vote, the black male vote, because she couldn't. It was very repulsive during the last election. So the brother got up and snatched the mic from the MC. And he told him, you know, basically all y'all do is talk to old people who do things the old ways. But for all the young people, y'all need to make sure you hold these politicians accountable. He started running it down. Y'all can call Trump a racist, but Biden was a racist, Kamala's a racist. And based on the things that she's done and supported, you know, with her record as a district attorney and out there in California, framing black men, putting some brothers on the, on death row. Yeah, y'all need to. So after he said that, you just saw the other dude. The other dude was trying to snatch his mic. He was trying to get them to kill the mic. It was an act of desperation. He definitely went off script. And then Al Sharpton gets up there and calls that brother an agent. And see, this is the type of misandry we don't often talk about. You know, when you're trying to silence black men who speak on their political ambitions, who actually speak with some authority in their voice, and you have other, you know, bought and paid for Negroes who believe that the status quo in the black community is the pecking order, is that black men are to be seen and not heard, to be useful without getting anything of use from the community. Our utility and availability is all that matters. And then they conjure all of these fallacious terms, you know, pejorative terms. In order to quell and put down the fight that exists when a man drops his balls and walks around in his full power, testicle fortitude on full display. I know I'm supposed to say testicle fortitude, full display. I know what I said, damn it. And I think that it's just illustrating that there's a change in the air. There's a change in the air. And the brother wasn't a kid, because he's speaking to people 35 years old and younger. So I can only assume that he's around that age. For which they only had 4 people in the entire audience at that conference. Old dogs, it's hard to teach old dogs new tricks. But these new cats coming up, they ain't playing with y'all. And they're gonna, you know, speak up and be accounted for. As Malcolm said, by any means necessary. Let's get on that for a second. Because Malcolm called us political chumps. Hold on. Let me see if I can find that real quick, man. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Because I could have talked about that. Let me see what I can do here. And normally I'm prepped, but I'm tired. All right, I want y'all to check this out, right? And this is my first time playing this, so I don't know how it's gonna come off. So let me dim this a little bit. Let me let y'all hear what Malcolm had to say. Hold tight.
22 million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they become, develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republican. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you bash controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump. Anytime you throw your weight behind a political party that controls two-thirds of the government, and that party can't keep the promise that it made to you during election time, and you are dumb enough to walk around continuing to identify yourself with that party, you're not only a chump, but you're a traitor to your race. And what kind of alibi do they come up with? They try and pass the buck to the Dixiecrats. Now, back during the days when you were blind, deaf, and dumb, ignorant, politically immature, naturally you went along with that. But today, as your eyes come open and you develop political maturity, you're able to see and think for yourself. And you can see that a Dixiecrat is nothing but a Democrat in disguise. You look at the structure of the government that controls this country. It's controlled by 16 senatorial committees and 20 congressional committees. Of the 16 senatorial committees that run the government, 10 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. Of the 20 congressional committees that run the government, 12 of them are in the hands of Southern segregationists. And they're going to tell you and me that the South lost the war.
Hold on. And I love how they try to play. King against Malcolm, right? But let me let y'all hear what King also had to say on the matter before we come back to the political chumps.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
You see, they both understood the vision. Now, Malcolm had a much more direct way of talking to people. Dr. King had that old, you know, preacher background. But make no mistake about it, they were both very charismatic men. And these charismatic brothers, you know, leaders, were on the front lines when they would go and speak about the different things. Not only did they speak, they organized. Malcolm would come to your city and wouldn't leave until a mosque was born. Dr. King was bringing people all over the country to bring awareness globally to the atrocities that black people had to go through in this country. But more important than both of them was the message. You see, when King did that speech, I think literally he was like maybe a month or two away from being assassinated in Memphis. It was after that speech, I believe, that they determined that we need to lure him to Memphis. So they killed two men, two black men, pushed them into the back of garbage trucks, and pulled down the lever. Those brothers got crushed in those trucks to lure him out, to lure Dr. King to his demise. Similarly, Malcolm knew the day he was going to die. He knew he was going to die that day. Something we don't talk about. He allowed the killers to come in. Told his security to stand down. He knew he had agents in his midst. But they believed in a righteous cause. And these men, both brave men, these were heroes. But these brothers also spoke on men, black men being accounted for. And I find it ironic that Al Sharpton would call that young brother an agent, when Al Sharpton himself was an FBI asset and also a stooge for the Italian mafia. Go back and check out some of those interviews with the mob and how they would deal with black people. And when they couldn't get like certain black entertainers or they couldn't get certain black athletes, they sent Don King and Al Sharpton to go get them. And they also sent them on hits. You ain't gotta believe me. You can go look at, listen to some of those interviews. And how come Al Sharpton has never denied any of those accusations? See, Al Sharpton is like the most dangerous type of dude, like the most dangerous type of black man. Yeah, he dons our skin. He speaks our jargon. But he ain't loyal to us. But he's more so loyal to the Democratic Party. He's more so loyal to the Zionists, the same Zionists that have Donald Trump under their thumb over there in Iran. You best believe, same Zionists who are behind the rise of Kamala Harris. And I'm saying some shit I really shouldn't even be saying, because sometimes these words come with a consequence. But unlike the character I described earlier, I'm not a bird just flying around while the world is changing around me. And we always see it coming. Those of us who understand what we're up against. I think that it's funny because, you know, we did a reaction show. Shout out to my brother Joseph Ward and On the Shoulders of Giants, the On the Shoulders of Giants franchise, the podcast, and also, you know, the book series. Shout out to my brother Patrick Irving, you know, the author of The Chasm. Which explains, it details the rift in the black community, specifically gender rift, but also the age. It basically breaks down the Willie Lynch letter in words and verbiage you can understand. But we had a conversation, you know, considering if America falls, what condition would the black community be in? In other words, if this empire falls and fails, can black people survive? And you wouldn't believe how many people actually believe, erroneously, I might add, that if the American falls, it'll be a great day for the black community. How can it be? You'd have to be in an impenetrable fortress of your own making and design to not be affected by the collapse of a global empire, which America is, by its nuclear arsenal, its military might. Don't pay attention to them getting their head smacked in over there in Iran. They tactically are more proficient for the type of warfare that's going to take place in that region. As long as those A-bombs don't get dropped, the H-bombs don't get dropped. But the American military is still the most formidable military in the world. Why do you think China and Russia has been slow to jump into this shit? They have formidable militaries of their own. Although Russia's, they're having a hard time in Ukraine. But black people, we ain't ready. And that's the scariest part. Not only are we not ready, we don't see the benefit. We don't even see the self-worth of making investments into the future and the proliferation of the black community. Sure, you may see some charter schools. You may see some mom and pop stores. We love getting into fashion. But let's just say that, you know, Thanos came to America. You know, the villain, anti-hero of the Marvel comic universe. And he had the Infinity Gauntlet with all six gemstones, right? You got power, you got reality stone, you have the soul stone, you have what's the other ones? The time stone. And I'm trying to think of all of them. But y'all get the drift. And he snapped his fingers, and all of white America just disappeared. What would we do? I'm genuinely asking that question because I want an answer. What would we do? You know, the scary thing is when I turn to like the social media platforms, when I learn about what we deem is important, most of what we do is because we're comfortable and safe in the environment. Although it's a false sense of security, we feel safe in the environment that's been created and generated by those who have oppressed us for centuries. And I ain't talking about your one white friend. I ain't talking about this, that, and the other. I'm talking about systemically. we have not even put a thought or effort into what it would take, collectively speaking, to design fail-safe situations for our prodigy, our children. And I think it's really scary that I think about this, a man who has not birthed any children, that I think about this more than people who have football teams, people who have soccer teams full of children, full of offspring. And yet and still, I think more about this, the proliferation of our community, than they do. It's kind of scary. But collectively speaking, black people are birds. Let me see if I can find that clip while we're talking, you know? Because, hey, man, why not? You know? Let me see. Let me see. Birds. Let me see. Let me see. What were we looking for? Let me see. Birds. Damn it. I picked the wrong time to do this. Y'all don't understand, man. This is the first time back to work in a little while, and the brother is tired. But I'm here putting this together for y'all, so appreciate. Alright. You know, but let's see. Damn it. Hold on, let me type this up one more time. Okay. No, not that one. Brothers movie scene. Gotta use some of my old let me see. That's it. Alright, so I'm looking for it now. I don't think I'm gonna find it though. Cause you had to be specific and, like, you know, especially with all the crap that's on YouTube now and on Google now, you can't even get a fresh clip of anything. I know, I was trying. Everything you pull up has a million and one reactions. Crazy work. The Blues Brothers. Let me add one more thing. Let's see if I can get this. Maybe. Let me see. Maybe I can get it now. Playboy. Playboy, did I find it? I'm trying to tell y'all. Hold on. Let me see. Let me see if it's out here. Yeah. I found it. Yo. I am the man.
I'll take care of this. Hey, you, come on out. You don't want to do this. Why don't you put that knife away, take you and your friends on home.
I listen to him if I was you.
He's the boss. You just sold a load of those dingers in there, didn't you? You hand over that cash or I'm going to cut some daylight into you.
Oh, listen here, mister. We got no way to understand this world. We got about as much sense of it as a bird flying in the sky. There is a lot that bird don't know. And it don't change the fact that the world is happening to him all the same.
What I'm trying to say is that the course of your life, you know, it is changing. You don't even see it.
What are you talking about? him.
Go!
Yep.
And that's what I'm talking about. Hey, man, don't ever doubt my persistence, baby. That's what I'm talking about. The world is changing. You have no idea. The things are going on around the world that are affecting you right now. You have no idea. You're like a little bird flying around. That's black people. We're the birds. The world is changing. I kind of look at it like, now we're going to go back to the MC universe. People didn't really understand why Thanos, out of all of the superheroes that the Avengers had, they didn't understand why Tony Stark was, you know, was the nemesis. They never understood why Tony Stark was the most respected, that Thanos actually knew him, recognized him by name. And it was because not only did Tony have the will, which I talked about that before, Tony also had the premonitions to understand the gravity of the assignment that was in front of him. Parts of him already knew he wouldn't survive the final conflict. It was Tony Stark who set the wheels in motion to defend not just all of mankind, but as it turned out, all of life in the known universe. And he had known that he would have to create. First of all, he had to redo his machine, you know, the Iron Man machine. Went from, you know, highly carbonated steel and all those different things he used, and then he turned it and he utilized the same nanotechniques that the Black Panther used. Nanotechnology. But he understood it, that's where the fight was. He actually went to Thanos' home planet. I don't think we really dig the gravity. He was waiting for Thanos to come home. A one-way trip. He had no way of even thinking about getting home after that. But he also knew that he had a daughter and he had to provide a future for. Y'all got children. What do y'all think about the futures you provide for them? Half of y'all want to kick y'all children out the house when they turn 18. Let's talk about that. Y'all don't even, fuck creating a better world for them. Y'all don't even prepare them to deal with the world they live in now. And people always say, damn, man, he sounds so pessimistic. I'm not pessimistic. I'm just honest. And brute honesty is something that most of us just can't handle. We walk around like our shit don't stink. And you get mad when somebody say, yo, bro, your shit stinks. And, you know, I have these conversations with my partners all the time. I try to have these conversations with, when I have these conversations with, even with smart people, I have to layer it just to see how much they can take. everybody can't handle this conversation. And quite frankly, everybody's not designed to handle this conversation. But what I said before, what do you need? When I did the Independence Day Project, I talked about it. Black people need think tanks. How do you think that these groups just run and operate the world? The whole concept of the Willie Lynch letter was a goddamn think tank. They studied us. Not just us, but human behavior, period. And then put together instruments of society for which they can further study us, how to manipulate us, how to control us. Over in the UK, they had the Tavistock Institute. Here in America, they had the Rockefeller Institute, the Carnegie Institute, the Stanford Institute. And then they created national, international think tanks. This is, you know, the Trilateral Commission to control the Pacific Theater. Everything that the shores of all the shores of the Pacific, all the countries that touch the Pacific Ocean. We don't want to talk about that. They created lobbies. Lobbies is nothing more than think tanks with wallets. Do me a favor. The next time you go to the metropolis part of your town, the next time you go to the financial district, I want you to look at the names on the side of those buildings, especially the ones that are named after banks. And I want you to count how many floors are in those buildings. Why does a bank need a whole freaking high rise? That's because not only are they doing banking, they're drafting policies. They have entire legal teams dedicated to specific causes. Wait till you find out the think tank that people like Angelina Jolie and Ben Affleck are a part of that deals with the other part of the world. The Middle East and Africa. Wait till you find out about which one they're part of. We consider a think tank people sitting around and having a general conversation. Listen, think tanks are intense. Think tanks operate from a place of of numbers, causality. What's possible, and the percentages of probabilities of things occurring if you manipulate the environment this way, if you manipulate the environment that way, if you add this to the environment but subtract that to the environment. We don't have a clue. Because you know what's funny? You could tell people this, and you're like, you know, we need to put together a think tank. We need to put together many think tanks. We need a think tank for every area of human activity. We need a think tank. We need ministries to govern certain things. Go back to that question I said before. If all white people disappeared, they don't snap. Yeah, I was trying to snap. Wrong hand. Damn it. I should have downloaded that. If they don't snap, what? Who would be responsible for feeding everybody? Who would be responsible for the farming? Who would be responsible for setting up an effective power grid? Who would be able to operate the infrastructure for plumbing and irrigation? Things that have changed the face of society. That's how you actually knew if you were living in a modern city or a modern country. Literally, if you had a toilet that flushed and a sewer system where people weren't just throwing shit outside the house. How to generate irrigation systems that, you know, can water an entire farms. Have we ever seen rice in its rawest form? What about wheat? Do we even know how to cultivate raw cotton? Our ancestors did, but do we even know how to do that? I mean, for all the clean energy and futuristic stuff everybody's talking about, and solar farms, wind farms, you know, aqua farms, you know, dams and oil seem to be the primary sources of energy in the world still, which is why when you take 20% of the oil off the grid, it changes the landscape of everybody. The entire planet is impacted by a strait of water that's 23 miles apart. Sobering. I know, a lot of y'all, this is entertainment. But it's scary, because I'm not just trying to entertain you. Planting seeds. Your children are going to be in this world. They're of this world. And it's not just your children. Although it happens, you rarely hear of siblings gunning each other down. But somebody else will gun your child down. And the Mad Max reality that will be created in a dystopic world. That's possible. I ain't saying it's happening now. But we didn't think, just for all of y'all who, you know, think that I might be walking off on a ledge here, we didn't think you could shut the entire planet down either. We didn't think you could shut the entire planet down until 2020. Everything. Y'all did what y'all were told. Y'all was scared to come outside. I heard cats talking cash shit. This virus ain't real. They come outside, they're like a goddamn mummy. I'm looking at them like, I thought this was fake. I thought it didn't affect black people. Why are you all masked up, but you sending people out in the street unmasked? Make it make sense to me. So, family, brethren, brothers, and sisters, if we want to put together a world, if we want to survive, then it's way past time to get started. Because the idiots that live in this place with delusions of grandeur, when an empire that is pretty much babysat and fed and raised our children goes down, that we would somehow benefit when we have done nothing to separate ourselves from that entity. We have done nothing to insulate ourselves from the downfall of that entity. And we have not created a pathway of survival. It's like being on the Titanic and celebrating the iceberg. And when the iceberg hits, when it hits the iceberg, or whatever the hell that explosion was, because I don't know if it was an iceberg. We're like the band, we're still playing, dancing to the music, celebrating. But the ship is going down. And we didn't even think enough to secure a lifeboat. So you're celebrating a ship sinking that you're in with very little probability of survival out in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean. Temperatures are in the 30s on the deck. And you're celebrating that. But you don't have a life raft. You don't even have a life jacket for your children. You don't have a life jacket for your children. Make it make sense, family. So, this is kind of what it's like to talk to me. And this, I really have said things on here to make it so that you can understand what I'm saying. Because the layers of this onion goes deep. The rabbit hole goes deep. And there are things that I compute, messages, research, most can't comprehend. And I'm not just patting my own back with that. I'm just being real. So I try to make it as simple as possible. With that said, family, I want you all to be careful. Take care of yourselves. Pay attention to the world around you. Don't be a bird. And remember, as I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.